We continue Bezat Hashem in our Limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Mem Gimel, two lines from the top, B'maika Miflegi. This Limud is Le'ilu Nishmat, Shimon ben Simcha, Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, Yair ben Tova, Sulika bat Chana, Esther bat Ladisia, Ladisia bat Yakot, Eta Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Devora, Eva Shalomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther Chava bat Sarah, Enluba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom, Also Lizchut Refu'ah Shelema for Esther bat Sarah, Gabriela Masuda bat Sarah, Chana bat Sulika, and Elisheva bat Neta. We are in the middle of the sugya here that deals with the machloket tana'im, the machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, in the Mishnah in Masechet Shavuot Daf Lamed Vav, which the Gemara by us on Daf Membet Amud Aleph brought down, a machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon regarding if a person is mechuyav, if he's obligated to pay the special chomesh and korban asham that the Torah dictates for one who was nishba al kfirat mamon, someone who swore falsely to deny money that he owes. And so this machloket is regarding a case if he denies that he was me'anes, or if he denies that he was mefateh. And then he swore, and then he agreed, he admitted that he has done it. So according to Chachamim, he's chayav, that's nishba al kfirat mamon. He has to not only pay back what he owes, but he has to pay a chomesh, a fifth, and to bring a korban, asham gezelot. That's according to Chachamim. Whereas Rabbi Shimon said, no, he's patur, because we're dealing with a knas of ones and mefateh. Knas, if he were to be modeh be knas patur. And therefore, when he swore to deny, he was not nishba al kfirat mamon. This was not mamon. This was something that he could have been patur from, because he could have admitted and become exempt from it. So therefore, he's not chayav, the chomesh. Chachamim answered back, okay, that's in regards to the knas, but what about the boshet and pegam? Boshet and pegam, he has to pay even al pi atzmo. That's not a knas. So now the Gemara wants to explain what is the core of their machloket. B'mai kabiflegi. With regard to what do these tana'im disagree? Amar Rav Papa explains, Rabbi Shimon Savar, Rabbi Shimon holds, lo shavik inish midi dekitz v'tava midi delakitz. Rabbi Shimon holds, a person doesn't leave aside something that is kitz, that is fixed, which means a knas, has a set amount, which is a fine. And instead, he will claim something that is not fixed, which means the boshet and pegam, the compensation for humiliation, for degradation, needs to be evaluated by the Bedin. So therefore, when a person claims ones, it's essentially a demand for the knas, not for the boshet and pegam, because that's midi delakitz. That's something that you don't know exactly how much that's going to be valued. Whereas the knas, you do know exactly how much it is. And a person doesn't put aside something that is set and fixed and claims something that is not set. And therefore, since the claim of ones is mainly a claim for the knas, and on the knas we say modeh b'knas patur, so you're not mechuyav the chomesh of nishba al kfirat mamon. However, v'rabbanan savri, Rabbanan hold the opposite. Lo shavik inish midi dechi modeh be'la miftar. A person does not leave aside something that if he were to admit, he would still not be patur from paying. That's boshet upgam v'tava midi, and instead he'll claim something dechi modeh be'miftar, that if he were to admit, he would on his own he would be patur. In other words, according to Rabbanan, the main claim of the ones is the boshet upgam, because that's something that he has no way out of, even if he were to admit. So the lawsuit of the ones and pegam is mainly focused on the compensation, on the payments of boshet and pegam. And therefore, in that case, if he denied and he swore falsely, that is a case of nishbal kfirat mamon, where he's chayav the chomesh and the korban hasham gezelot. Be'amine Rabbi Avina Mirav Sheshet. Rabbi Avina asked a question from Rav Sheshet. Bat hanizonet min ha'achim. Ma'aseh yadeh halemi. Regarding a bat, a daughter, who is being sustained, who is given parnasah by the brothers. In a case where the father died, so the brothers have to provide the daughters, who are orphans, with their mezonot from the estate of their father. That's a tnai ketubah. It's already stipulated in the ketubah between the parents that in case the father passes away, the father has to pay for his daughter's sustenance from his property. So the question is, now that the brothers are the ones who are in charge of making sure she has mezonot from the estate of the father, ma'aseh yadeh alemi, her ma'aseh yadayim, her earnings, to whom does it belong? And the Gemara explains the question. Rabbi Avina explains his safek. Bimkom av kaimi? Do we say that the brothers are instead in place of the father? So therefore, mahata ma'aseh yadeha la'av. So just like if the father was alive, her earnings would go to the father. Hachanami ma'aseh yadeha la'achim. So too over here, the brothers who are now in his place, they get her ma'aseh yadayim, her earnings. O dilma, or maybe we say loda mile'av. It's not similar to the father. Hatam, when the father is alive over there. Midide mitzina. After all, she is being sustained from his own property. Therefore, he's entitled to receive her earnings. Hacha, over here, lav mididhu mitzina. She's not being sustained from their possessions. They're just giving her from the estate of their father. So they're not giving from their own possessions, so consequently, they shouldn't receive her earnings. She should be able to keep it to herself. So that's the question that Rabbi Avina asked from Rav Sheshet. A daughter who is being sustained by the brothers from the estate of the father, to whom does the earnings, her ma'aseh yadeha, belong? Amar le, Rav Sheshet told him, tenitua. We learned it in a Mishnah, later on in our Masechet, and Daf Peh Aleph. It states, Almana nizonet minichsei yetomim u'ma'aseh yadeha shelahen. Regarding Almana, the widow, she receives sustenance from the property of the orphans, of the yetomim, u'ma'aseh yadeha shelahen, and her earnings belong to them, to the orphans. So what do we see over here? Even though the widow is receiving her parnasah from the estate of her deceased husband, but still, and that is in accordance with the tnai of the ketubah, but still the orphans are nevertheless entitled to her earnings. So we should say the same thing over here regarding the bat, who is an orphan, who is being sustained by her brothers. The brothers should receive her earnings, just like by the case of almana. So Rav Sheshet compares the case of bat to the case of almana, the widow. The Gemara refutes this by saying, midami, are the two situations similar? Almanato lo nichale beharvacha, bito nichale beharvacha. When it comes to the widow, it's possible that he would not necessarily be in agreement to her living beharvacha, in comfort, which means she's entitled, the almana is entitled to the minimum that's guaranteed to her in the tnai ketubah, which means that the orphans have to give her parnasa, but ma'aseh yadeha, go to them. Who said that he would be okay with that, that she should live with extra? That's by the almana. But by his daughter, it is reasonable that he is interested that she should live in more comfort. And therefore, he would allow her to keep her earnings so that she can have extra money. So how are you comparing bito to almana? So the Gemara asks on this, lememra de bito adifa le me'almenato? Is that to say that the welfare of his daughter is more preferable to him than his widow? Veha amar Rabbi Abba amar Rabbi Yossi, asu almana etzel abat, kebat etzel achim bin chasim mu'atim. Didn't Rabbi Abba say in the name of Rabbi Yossi that the Chachamim established the halacha of almana etzel habat in the case of a widow and the daughter? Which means, in a case where a person died and he left over his widow and a daughter. So the halacha is that the din of the almana etzel abat is like the din of the bat etzel achim. It's just like the case where someone died and left over a daughter and sons. And what's the din? Bin chasim mu'atim, that they receive, if there are very few, if there is very few property that is left, so then they receive that property. Mahabat etzel achim, just like by the daughter regarding the brothers, when there is a few nechasim left, we say what? Habat nizonet, the daughter gets those nechasim, she gets those properties, v'ha'achim yishalu ala petachim. And the brothers can go and fend for themselves and knock on doors to receive money for themselves. Af almana etzel abat, and the same, therefore the same halakha, Rabbi Abba says, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, the same halacha is by almana etzel abat, that when the only ones left were the widow and the daughter, so when there are nechasim mu'atim, when there is few nechasim left, almana nizonet, the widow will get the nechasim, v'habat tishal ala pitachim, and the daughter should fend for herself. So what do we see over here? It seems like the welfare of the almana, of the widow, is more important to him than his daughter, and that's why she gets the whatever is left of the nechasim, she has priority. So what are you saying over here? How are you answering that we shouldn't compare almana to bat? Because by almana, he's not nichale behavacha. He's not interested that she should have the extra earnings on the side. By the daughter, he is interested. Answers the Gemara, you can't compare the two cases. The two halachot are different. Le'inyan ziluta, when it's talking about regarding ziluta, ziluta means degradation. So then, almanato adifale, one's widow is preferable to him. Which means if one of them has to go around asking for handouts from people, so a man would rather that be his daughter than his widow. He doesn't want her to be mizdalzel, to be belittled and degrade herself to go around asking. So when it comes to who's going to be shoel al haptachim and who's going to have priority on the few nechasim that is left, that's when the almana has priority. But leinyan harvacha bito adifale. But by contrast, when it's regard to comfort, the comfort of his daughter is more preferable to him than the comfort of his widow. Now the Gemara is going to ask from our Mishnah, Mativ Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on Rav Sheshet from our Mishnah. What did Rav Sheshet tell us so far? That the bat, who is the Toma, her Maaseh Yadayim, her earnings, belong to the brothers. Because Rav Sheshet compared it to the case of the Almana, who's Nizonet Minichsei Yatomim. So Rav Yosef is asking a stira from our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Ma'ase yadeha umtziata, regarding her earnings and her mitziot, her lost items that she found. Afal pishe lo gafta, even though she didn't have a chance yet to collect them. Met ha'av, if the father dies, harehen shel achim, they belong to the brothers. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So now we make a diyuk, Rav Yosef says. Tama debechaye ha'av. It seems that the reason why, when does it go to the brothers? These earnings and these mitziot that she found were still bechaye ha'av, when he was still alive. And then he died before she had a chance to collect. So then it goes to the brothers. Ha le'achar mitat ha'av. Mashma, let's say ma'ase adayim, earnings that she earns or mitziot that she finds after the father dies. Le'atzma, it would go to her, right? Ma'i lav benizonet. Isn't the Mishnah referring even to a case of a daughter who is being nizonet, who is being sustained from the brothers, from the estate of the father? So you see that a bat should receive her ma'aseh yadayim to herself. Bat ha'nizonet min achim, the ma'aseh yadayim should go to her. It seems like we can infer from our Mishnah, not like the conclusion of Rav Sheshet. Answers the Gemara, it's not a proof against Rav Sheshet, lo, b'she'enah nizonet, which means the Mishnah is not dealing with a daughter who is nizonet minichsei from the yetomim. No, it's a daughter who's not being sustained from his property. She's sustaining herself through her own ma'aseh yadayim. And therefore, in that case, yeah, the ma'aseh yadayim would go to herself. Well, the Gemara says, I b'she'enah nizonet mai lememra. If the Mishnah is talking about a case where she's not being sustained from the estate of the father through the brothers, rather on her own, so you're telling me that in that case, if it was after mitat ha'av, it would go to herself, mai lememra. Why do I need? What's the purpose of stating that? Why do I need a Mishnah to tell me this? What is the Mishnah coming to be Mechadesh? If the Mishnah is coming to tell us that the earnings, the Maaseh Adayim that she does when the father is alive, belongs to the brothers after the father died, I mean, that is Pashut. Because obviously, since while the father was alive, he already was entitled to that money. So when he dies, that's part of the inheritance. It goes to the brothers. That's true. So that's obvious. And if you're telling me that the Mishnah is coming to tell us the Diyuk, that the Maaseh Adayim that she does after her father dies, that goes to herself, and it doesn't go to the brothers, right? I mean, that's Pshita. Afilu, the Gemara continues and asks, Afilu leman d'amar, yachol arav lomar le'eved asei mi ve'eni zancha, even according to the opinion who says that a master of an Eved can tell the Eved, you work for me, you do melachot for me, you labor for me, ve'eni zancha, and I don't have to give you parnasah, I reserve the right not to give you parnasah. So there's an opinion that a Rav, Adon, a master, can say that, right? Hani mili be'evet kenani. That's only in the case of Evet Kenani. De lo ktiv be imach. It doesn't say by Evet Kenani, ki tov lo imach, that it should be good to him with you, which means that there's no obligation on the master to give mezonot, to give parnasa to his Evet Kenani. Aval Evet Ivri, dechtiv be imach, lo. But to an Evet Ivri, a Hebrew slave, it says over there, ki tov lo imach, it has to be good for him with you, which means that the master has to give the Eved Ivri mezonot. He can never say, asei mi ve'eni zancha, kol sheken bito. So surely, the daughter, obviously, the brothers are absolutely obligated to give her parnasah if they're going to receive the Maaseh Adayim. And if we're talking about Shaloni Zonet, that they're not giving her parnasah, then obviously her Maaseh Adayim is kept to herself. Why should she give her earnings? She's not receiving parnasah from them. This is not some kind of Evid Kenani where there's no obligation of giving parnasah. So therefore it's Pshita if we're talking about Enani Zonet. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Ula. Rabba Bar Ula says, really, the Mishnah is in fact talking about a case where the daughter is not being nizonet, is not being sustained by the brothers. And the Mishnah is coming to tell us that diyuk, that the earnings that she does after the father died, she keeps to herself. And this that we asked, what's the chidush? She's not worse than Eved Ivri. Lo nitzrecha ela leha'adafa. The Mishnah is needed to be mechadesh this to me, in the case of leha'adafa. Ha'adafa means surplus, when she's making extra. In other words, the Mishnah is not stating that the brothers take her Maaseh Adayim and don't have to give her mizonot, leaving her with nothing. No. The question is regarding the daughter, the young woman, whose Maaseh Adayim provide her with more than what she needs for her sustenance, leaving her with ha'adafa, with a surplus. So maybe you'll think that this belongs to the brothers as part of the inheritance from the father. That's the chidush of the Mishnah, that even the ha'adafa also belongs to her. Even the surplus goes to the bat when she is not nizonet. So the Gemara asks on Rav Yosef, who asked the question, and he didn't answer this answer of Rabba Bar Ula of ha'adafa. Amar Rava, Rava says, Gavra Rabba, ki Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is a great man, such a great man. Lo yada deika ha'adafa. What? He does not know that there is an explanation according to which the Mishnah can be explained, that it's referring to ha'adafa. Vekamotiv tiyufta. And because of that, because he didn't think of this answer of ha'adafa, he asks a refutation against Rav Sheshet. He asks a tiyufta. How could that be that he couldn't think of this answer, that the Mishnah is coming to be mechadesh to us, that the ha'adafa, the surplus, belongs to the daughter? Ela amar, therefore Rava did not accept this answer of Rava Bar Ula, because it's too easy, too simple of an answer. Ela amar Rava, rather Rava says, Rav Yosef matnitin gufa kashiale. Rav Yosef had a difficulty with the Mishnah itself. Diktani, it states in the Mishnah, Maaseh Yadeha Umtziata Af Al Pi Shelo Gavta. It says in the Mishnah that her Maaseh Adayim, her earnings and her Metziot, her findings, afal pi shelo gavta, even though she didn't collect them yet. So now, metziata miman gavya. What does this mean? What's this lashon of the Mishnah regarding metziot, even though she didn't collect them? Items that she found, from who does she collect them? The concept of collecting is not applicable to metziot. You don't collect metziot from anyone. So what does this mean over here? Maasei yadea umtziata afal pi shelo gavta, even though she didn't collect them. What does that mean? Elalav. Rather, you have to say hachika amar. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Maasei yadea kimtziata, that the halacha of her earnings is like the halacha of her metziot, of items that she found. Ma metziata b'chaye ha'av la'av, le'achal mitata av le'atzma. Just like by metziot, when, if she finds it during the lifetime of her father, it belongs to her father. If she finds them after the lifetime of her father, after he passes away, le'atzma, then it's kept to herself. Af ma'aseya de'anami, so too her earnings, b'chaye ha'av la'av, le'achal mitata av le'atzma. During the lifetime of her father, it goes to the father. After he passes away, it goes to herself. Shema mina. And that is a conclusive understanding of the Mishnah, which means that the Mishnah is not referring to the Ha'adafa. The Mishnah is referring to the Ma'aseh Yadayim itself. Her earnings themselves belong to her and not to the brothers. So therefore, this is an exact stira to what Rav Sheshet said. Rav Sheshet said the halacha is it goes to the brothers. We see from our Mishnah not like that. That Ma'aseh Yadeha is like Mitziata. And since Ma'aseh Yadeha is Kimitziata, that's why Rav Yosef could not explain that the Mishnah is talking about Ha'adafa. And that's why there is a Tiyufta. Rav Yosef asked a Tiyufta from our Mishnah on Rav Sheshet. Itmar Nami. And this halacha was also taught by the Amoraim. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Bat hanizonet min ha'achim ma'aseh yadeha le'atzma. A daughter who is being sustained by the brothers from the estate of the father, her earnings, her ma'aseh yadayim, go to herself, not like what Rav Sheshet said before. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, my tama, what's the reason of this halacha that Rav said? Tichtiv, because it says in the pasuk, ve'itnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem, regarding the avadim, regarding slaves, it says, "V'itnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem," and you may make them an inheritance for your sons after you. So it says in the pasuk, "Otam livnechem ve'lo benotechem livnechem." They, the slaves, you can inherit over to your sons. Ve'lo benotechem livnechem, but not your daughters to your sons. And what does that teach us? Magid she'en adam morish zechut bito livno. That teaches us that a person does not inherit over the right that he had on his daughter and her earnings, he doesn't inherit that right itself, that zechut itself to his son. So therefore, they don't inherit the right to be entitled to her ma'aseh yadayim after the father dies. Her ma'aseh yadayim goes to herself. Matkifla Rabba. Rabba has a strong question on this explanation of the pasuk that was just said, that it's referring to a person's right, to the father's right to his daughter's ma'aseh yadayim. Ve'ema b'pitui haba tuknasot v'havalot ha'katuv medaber. How do you know the pasuk is talking about the ma'aseh yadayim of the daughter? Maybe the pasuk is talking about the right that the father has on the knasot, on the fine that is paid in the case of pitui, of seduction of his daughter, and or the fines that are paid when she is ne'eneset, or the chavalot, or let's say the compensation for injuries that she suffered that belongs to the father when he is alive, when she is a na'ara. And maybe that's what the pasuk is talking about, that these rights are not given over to the sons. How do we know the pasuk is talking about the right to ma'aseh yadayim? V'chen tana Rav Chanina. And in fact, Rav Chanina explicitly explained that this pasuk is talking b'fitui habat u'knasot v'chavalot ha'katuv medaber. But the Gemara immediately asks on this explanation, you're going to tell me that the pasuk is telling me that the father does not inherit over to his sons the zechut, the entitlement that he has on chavalot and the knasot. Chavalot, tzara degufaninhu. Chavalot, regarding the injuries, this is a result of her tzar, of her guf, of her bodily pain. So in other words, any compensation for the daughter's physical pain, it doesn't really belong to the father. The Torah did not give zechut to the father to keep them, that I need a pasuk to say that he doesn't inherit that zechut to the sons. He just keeps it in a trust for her, but it really belongs to her. So therefore, you cannot explain that the pasuk is coming to teach me about chavalot, that it's not inherited over to the sons. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina explains shepatza befaneha, when the injury went to her face, and therefore he has to also pay for the loss of her value. That's something that is a pigam that belongs to her father. It's not just tzara degufa; it's also a pigam, which is a payment that belongs to the father. And therefore, that's included in the chavalot, which you can say is the explanation of this pasuk. That the pasuk is coming to tell us that although this type of chavala does belong to the father, he does not inherit it over to the sons, the entitlement of this money. And the Gemara brings, in the name of Rav, who says like Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Rav. Rav Zera said in the name of Rav Matna, who said in the name of Rav, Ve'amrila, and some say, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Rav. And some say it was Rabbi Zera, who said in the name of Rav Matna, who said in the name of Rav, just like what Rav Kahana taught us before. That bat hanizonet min ha'achim ma'asei adeh le'atzma, what's the reason that the daughter who is being sustained by the brothers from the estate of the father, her earnings go to herself? Dichtiv, it says, v'itnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem, otam livnechem. You inherit over the slaves to the sons, v'lo benotechem livnechem, but not the daughters to the sons. Magid she'en adam morish zechut bito livno, which teaches us that a father does not inherit over the right that he has over his daughter, to his son. He doesn't inherit it to his son. And therefore, in that case, Ma'aseh Yadeha goes to herself after Mitat Ha'av. As Rav taught us, and as Rav Kahana explained from this pasuk, of V'itnachaltem Otam. Amar le Avi mi Bar Papi told Rav Zera. You know, this halakha that you just taught us, that the Bat Hanizonet Min Achim, the Ma'aseh Yadeim go to herself, Shakud Amra, a chacham by the name Shakud, he's the one who said it. Shakud Amara. So now the Gemara asks, who is this Shakud? Shakud Manu. Who is Shakud? Shemuel, the Gemara says, that was a nickname for Shmuel the Amora. So the Gemara asks, Harav Amara. But we just saw that Rav is the one who said it. What are you telling me that Shakud, meaning Shmuel, is the one who said it? Ema, what he means, Avimi Bar Papi, what he meant to say is, Af Shakud Amara. Shmuel also agreed with this psak of Rav, and he also said this halacha. So it comes down to a machloket amuraim regarding a bat hanizonet min ha'achim, who gets the ma'aseh adayim. We see over here that Rav and Shmuel, both of them hold that the ma'aseh adayim goes to her, but don't forget, we learned that Rav Sheshet before held, it goes to the brothers. So what is the halacha? Amar Mar Barameimar le Ravashi. Mar Barameimar told Ravashi, Hachi Amri Nehar Da'e. So say the Chachamim from Nehar Da'a. Hilcheta kevate de Rav Sheshet. The halacha is like Rav Sheshet, who says the Maase Adayim, go to the brothers. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi told him, no. Hilcheta kevate de Rav. The halacha is like Rav. And the Gemara concludes, that is the halacha. Vilcheta kevate de Rav. The halacha is like Rav, who says, Bat Anizonet. From the brothers, Ma'aseh Yadeha Le'atzma, she keeps her own her earnings. The new Mishnah begins as follows. Hame'ares et bito ve'gersha, ersa ve'nit armela, ketubata shelo. Meaning like this. Hame'ares et bito, if a father accepts kiddushin, he betroths his daughter, gives over his daughter be'kiddushin, his daughter who is a ktana or a na'ara, when the father still has the right to accept kiddushin for her, ve'gerasha, and before they were, they did nisuim, before they married fully, he divorced her, the chatan divorced her. And then after that, ersa ve'nitarmela, once again the father received kiddushin for her, and she was widowed, the husband died before they actually did nisuim, before they got married. And she's still a ktana, or a na'ara. So the halacha is the ketubah that she's collecting from both of these erusin, shelo, goes to the father. But if let's say he si'ah v'gersha, he si'ah v'nitau mela, if let's say the father not only accepted kiddushin, but he married her off fully, and she got divorced. And then again, while she was a nara or a ktana, he married her off fully again, and she was widowed. So then in this case, Chachamim hold, Tanakama holds, ketubata shela. The ketubah that she collects from both of these nisu'in belonged to her, because at the time of collection, she was no longer under the reshut of her father. Once she is nisu'ah, once she gets married fully, she goes out of the reshut of her father. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, however, harishona shel av, the ketubah of the first one, the first ketubah that she collected from her first nisu'im, goes to her father. The Gemara will explain what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lo, the Chachamim told Rabbi Yehuda, mishehesi'ah in nevi arishut ba. Once she is married, once she's fully married from the first time, that's it. Her father doesn't have any reshut in her. So why would he receive the ketubah of the first nisu'im? Therefore, Chachamim held, no, in the case where both were nisu'im, she receives the ketubah of both. First, the Gemara is going to make a diyuk, a certain diyuk on this Mishnah, and then it's going to explain the reasoning of the Mishnah. The Gemara is medayek, tama dehisi'a v'gersha, hisi'a v'nit'ar mela. Notice that the case that the Mishnah picks is, he married her off and she got divorced. He married her off and she was widowed. Aval nit'ar mela terei zimni. But the Mishnah did not pick a case just simply saying that he married her off and she was widowed. He married her off and she was widowed. It didn't give two cases, meaning that she was widowed twice. Why? Because tu lo chazya lin suve. Because if that were to happen, if she would be widowed twice, then she would not be fit to marry again. Because she has a chazakah that her husbands die after two times. And the Tana of our Mishnah did not want to give a case of pur anut, of tragedy. And therefore it stayed away from that. And it said, Hisi'ave gersha, Hisi'ave nit'ar mela. And what do we learn from this? Ve'agav urche, by the way, of the Tana, kasatim lan Tana kerabi. The Tana is telling us, the halacha is like Rabbi, de'amar bitre zimne havya chazaka. Remember, we learned this machloket in Masechet Yevamot, a machloket between Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. According to Rabbi, the chazakah is with two times alone is established. According to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the chazakah is only established after three times, which means only after she married and was widowed three times, then she has a chazakah that her husbands die and she would not be allowed to marry. But from the Mishnah we see, by way of what we just explained, that the reason why the Mishnah did not give us the case of hisi'ah v'nit'ar mela, rather just girsha the first time, because if it would be two times nit'ar mela, she wouldn't be able to marry again. That's like the opinion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, not like the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Now the Mishnah wants to explain the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda omer harishona shel av. Rabbi Yehuda says that in the case where hisi'ah v'gersha, hisi'ah v'nit'ar mela, Rabbi Yehuda says the first ketubah goes to the father. Maitama de Rabbi Yehuda, why is it that the first ketubah from the first nisuim goes to the father? So Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Amri Tarvayu, both Rabba and Rav Yosef explained the reasoning of Rav Yehuda, ho'ilu mishe'at erusin zacha bahen ha'av. Being that from the time of the erusin already, of the first husband, that's when the obligation of the ketubah is takes effect. The father at the time of erusin is still has authority over the daughter. Zocha bahen ha'av. So the father was zocheh at the time of erusin. He was entitled to that ketubah. Now the ketubah of the second husband, the father is not entitled, because once she married the first one, once the nisu'im of the first one took place, she goes out of the reshut of the father. So the second ketubah, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, doesn't go to the father. But the first one, when was the chiyuv of the ketubah of erusin chal, of the first one?
from the time of Erusin, not from the time of Nisuin later, from the time of Erusin already, the Chiyuv of Ketubah takes effect, and at that time the father still has authority, has rights over his daughter, therefore that Ketubah belongs to him. That's Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara asks on this explanation of Rabbi and Rav Yosef from the following Braita. Mativ Rava, Rava asks, we learn in a Braita, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, a quote from our Mishnah, Harishona Shel Av, the Ketubah that she collects from the first husband belongs to the father. Umode Rabbi Yehuda, but however Rabbi Yehuda would agree, would admit to the Chachamim, in a case of Bemeareset Bito Keshei Ktana, let's say the father gave over his daughter Bekidushin while she was a Ktana. Ubagra, and in the meantime, she became a Bogeret, she became a grown woman, 12 and a half years old. Achakach Niset, and only afterwards was the Nisuin done. Rabbi Yehuda agrees, She'en Avi Areshut Ba, that the father does not have any entitlement over her, and if the husband then divorces her, he dies, and she collects the ketubah does not go to the father, the ketubah goes to herself. So now let's think for a second over here. Amai, why is it that the ketubah doesn't go to the father? After all, we can say over here, you tell me that the father is entitled to the ketubah already from the moment of erusin. When he was me'areset bito, she was still ktana. So she was still under his entitlement. And you're telling me that that's when the chiyuv of ketubah begins. So therefore he should be able, who cares that afterwards bagra, she became a grown woman and she was niset. Why do you say en avi areshut ba? But at the time when the chiyuv of the ketubah took effect, which was at the time of erusin, as you said, she was still under the entitlement of the father. In that case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should go to the father also. Ela I itmar. Therefore, the Gemara says, rather, if Rabbi and Rav Yosef explained the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda, hachi itmar. This is what they said. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the Amri Tarvayu, both Rabbi and Rav Yosef explained the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who says that the first ketubah of the first husband goes to the father. Ho ilu birshuto nichtavin. Since in the case of the Mishnah, ho'ilu birshuto nichtavim, the first ketuvah was written at the time of the nisuim to the first husband, she was still under the reshut, under the entitlement of the father. Because when it was written at the time of nisuim, it's written right before the nisuim, so it's written before she left the reshut of her father. That's why the father is entitled. Not because misha'at erusin, here's the difference. Not like we said before, misha'at erusin is the time of chiyuv of ketubah, and she's under the reshut of the father. No, it's ho'ilu birshuto nichtavim. It's because at the time of the writing of the ketubah, although the obligation of the ketubah already begins from the moment of erusin, but the writing of the ketubah is right before nisuin. Since the writing of the ketubah was done when she was still under the entitlement of the father, that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first ketubah goes to the father. That's why in the Mishnah, that's the halakha, whereas in the case of the Braita, which is talking about bagra ve'achakach niset, first she became a bogeret, a grown woman, and then the nisuim. So that means at the time of the writing of the ketubah, she was already out of the reshut of the father. She was already a bogeret. That's why over there Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the father is not entitled to the ketubah. But in our Mishnah, the case of hisi'a v'gersha, hisi'a v'nitalmena, so now in the first hisi'a, at the time of the writing of the ketubah, she was still a na'ara, she was still under the zechut of the father. That's why the first ketubah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is collected by the father. Now the Gemara is going to ask as follows. Umigba me'emat gavya. And from when does she collect from the lien's property her ketubah? Let me explain the question. Now that we saw that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the entitlement of the father in the ketubah depends on the time of the writing of the ketubah, right? Not from the time when the chiyuv, the obligation of the ketubah began, from erusin, rather from the time of nisuin when it is written. So now, the question of the Gemara is like this. What about the collection of the woman from people who bought property from the father? Now we know that's called nechasim meshu'badim. That's property, real estate, that has a lien on it for the purpose of the collection of the ketubah. The power of the ketubah is that it gives a lien on any of the properties that were sold from the time of the obligation of the ketubah. So the question is, meaning what? That she can collect from those who bought. The people who bought real estate from the father, if they bought it from the time of the beginning of the lien that the ketubah puts on it, she can collect from them. Her collection of the ketubah. Now the question is, from when? Is that also depending on the time of the writing? Which means like this. Let's say after the erusin only, the father sold property. Right? Before the ketubah was written, but after the erusin, after the obligation of the ketubah. So do we say that she can collect from them? From those nechasim that were sold from the time of Erusim? Or do we say that since they were sold before the time of the writing of the Ketubah, she doesn't have yet a lien on them? It's only like a milve alpe, it's like an oral loan that does not have the power to collect from Meshu'badim. And she can only collect from those who bought land from the father after the time of the writing of the Ketubah. So that's the question here. Umigva me'emad gavya. Collection of her ketubah from the properties that are leaned. From when can she collect? From when does the husband's property become leaned to ensure her collection of her ketubah? Does it take effect at the time of the erusin, so that there is a lien on any property that he owned at that time? Or is the lien, the shibud, only on the property that the husband owned at the time of nisu'im, meaning of the writing of the ketubah? So here we have a machloket amora'im. Amar Rav Huna says, Mane mataim min ha'erusin, v'tosefet min ha'nisu'im. Rav Huna says it depends which part of the monetary obligation of the ketubah. There are two parts. There is the standard obligation, and that is mane, 100 for a non-betula, as we know, and mataim, 200 zuz, for a ketubah of a betula. Then there is tosefet, then there is the additional sum of money that is added into the ketubah by the husband. So now Rav Huna says it depends. The collection of the standard amount of the mane or the mataim, that she can collect min ha'erusin, from properties that were sold already from the erusin, from the time of kiddushin. The tosefet, the additional money that's written in the ketubah on top of the 200, that she can only collect from properties that were sold min hanisuim, from the time of the actual writing of the ketubah. That's according to Rav Huna. Rav Asi amar echad ze veechad ze min hanisuim. Rav Asi says no. Both the Ikar Ketubah, that's the Mane and Mataim, and the Tosefet Ketubah can only be collected min ha'nisu'im, from lands that were sold from the time of the actual writing of the Ketubah. Okay, asks the Gemara, Umi amar Rav Huna hachi? Did Rav Huna actually say this? That a woman has a lien on her husband's property from the time of Kiddushin, from the time of the Erusin, regarding the payment of the Ikar Ketubah, of the 100 or the 200? Is that what he said, really? Ve'ha'itmar, but wasn't it taught from the Amoraim regarding the following case? Hotzia alav shetei ketubot. Let's say, in a case of a woman who takes out against her husband, at the time of divorce, she takes out two ketubot, two contracts that were written at two different times. Achat shel mataim ve'achat shel shlosh meot. One ketubah has in it that he should pay her 200, that's the standard, and one ketubah has in it that he should pay her 300. And the date that is written in the ketubah of the 200 is an earlier date, that was written on an earlier date, and the one that says 300, the date is a later date. Now the halakha is, she cannot collect two ketubot, she has to decide to use only one of them, but she has the right, she has the zechut to choose which one that she can, that whichever one she wants to use to collect. So here's the case: hotzia alav shtei ketubot. One has in it mataim, one has in it an obligation of 300. Ve'amar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna himself said, if she chose to collect from the ketubah in which it says that he owes her 200, why? Because she wants to collect from the nechassim that he sold from that earlier time. Gova mizman rishon. She can collect from the properties that were sold from the first date because she's using the earlier ketubah, the ketubah of 200, which has the earlier date. Shlosh meot, but if she chooses to collect with the ketubah that says that he owes her 300, gova mizman sheni, so then she only collects from the properties that were sold from the second date, from the later date of the ketubah that she is choosing to use here. So that's what Rav Huna said. So now the Gemara is asking, the imita, if it's true that Rav Huna holds that there is an actual difference between the Ikara Ketubah, the standard sum, the 200, and the Tosefet, the extra 100. Remember, Rav Huna said that the Ikara Ketubah, she collects from the time of Erusin, from the time of Kiddushin. The Tosefet, she can only collect from property sold from the time of Nisuin. If Rav Huna really said that, then why is he saying over here that if she chooses to use the ketubah of 200, she collects from the first date? If she chooses to use the ketubah of 300, she collects the 300 from the later date. Why? Over here also, tigbe matayim mizman rishon u'me'a mizman sheni. Even here, even if she wants to use the later ketubah, the ketubah that says in it 300, let her collect the 200 out of the 300, which is the standard. Let her collect it from properties that were sold mizman rishon, from the first date, from the earlier date, because after all, that's definitely from the time of Erusin. Umea mizman sheni, and the 100, the tosefet, the third 100, she'll collect mizman sheni from the date that is written in the second ketubah. So you see that it seems to be a stira in the words of Rav Huna. However, the Gemara says, no, uletamich, according to you, that the second one is a tosef, the second ketubah, in that case of two ketubot, that the second ketubah is a tosefet on the first ketubah. That's how you're looking at it, right? So tigbe chamesh meot, kulam. Why doesn't she collect all 500? Let her collect the both ketubot together, put it all together. Matayim mizman rishon, the standard 200 letter collect from the date of the first ketubah, the earlier date. Tilat me'am mizman sheni, the 300 that is written in the second ketubah, letter collect from the second date, because the second ketubah seems to be a tosefet. Ela chamesh meot maitama lo gavya. Rather, what must you say? Why is it that nobody holds that she collects 500? You have to say, because she's not collecting all the 500 of the two ketubot, kevan delo katavla, since in the second ketubah, he didn't write, tzaviti ve'osifit lach telat mea amatayim. In the second ketubah, it was not explicitly written that he's adding these 300 on the previous amount of the first ketubah, the 200. It doesn't say tzaviti. In other words, if he were to write that, it would say in the ketubah, tzaviti, and I agree, I want, ve'osifit lach tlat mea, and I add to you 300, amataim, onto the 200, the previous ikal ketubah of 200. He didn't write that. He didn't say that. So if he didn't say that in the ketubah, in the second one, he just wrote a ketubah for 300, hachi ka'amarla. It sounds like this is what he's saying to her in the second ketubah. He's telling her when he wrote the second one, im bizman rishon gaviat, if you're going to choose to want to collect from the earlier date, gavya matayim, then you should collect only the 200 that is written in the first ketubah. Im bizman sheni gaviat, if you want to collect from the later date, gaviat latmea, then collect only 300 that are written in this ketubah. He didn't mean to add 300 onto the 200. He meant to write two ketubot and give her the choice of which date to collect. To collect from the earlier one, okay, collect only 200. If you want to collect from the later one, then you can collect 300. So therefore, says the Gemara, hachanami. Over here also, the reason why Rav Huna says that bata ligvot matayim gova mizman rishon, shlosh meot gova mizman sheni, that if she wants to collect from the ketubah of the 200, then she collects from the earlier date. If she wants to collect 300, she collects from this, from the later date. And he did not say that she could collect all the 200 from the first time, from the first date, and the 100 from the second date. The reason is, midelo katavla, from the fact that he did not write in the second ktubah, the second ktubah where he wrote that he's mitchayev, that he's obligated 300, he didn't write it in a way of tosefet. Midelo katavla osifit lach mea amataim. He didn't say, I am hereby adding 100 on top of the original 200 that I wrote in the first ktubah. Rather, what did he write? He wrote a new ktubah with a new date for 300. And without a lashon of tosefet, he didn't write any tosefet. Which means, achule achilte leshibuda kama. That if she chooses to collect with the second ktubah that says 300, she is mochel, she is forgiving the shibud of the first ktubah. She is forgiving the lien of the first ktubah that he was mishtab, that he wrote from the first, from the earlier date for the 200. She forgave that. Rather, she wants to use the second ktubah. The second ktubah, which says 300, well, she collects from that new date. That's all, not from the earlier date. But that's in regard to that case of Rav Huna by Hotzia Alav Shetek Ktubot. Whereas in a regular case of Tosefet Ktubah, where the husband clearly stipulates in the Ktubah that he's adding on top of the standard, he's adding a Tosefet, oh, in that case, that's where Rav Huna says, the Ikar Ktubah can be collected from the properties that were sold from the time of Erusin, and the Tosefet itself can only be collected from properties that were sold from the time of Nisuim, when the Ktubah was actually written. And therefore, there's no stira, there's no contradiction from the din that Rav Huna said regarding the collection of the Ikar Ktubah and the Tosefet Ktubah to what he said regarding the case of Hotzia Alav Shetek Ktubot.